Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, the Bible says this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Another day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he's left us with his eternal word that does not change. And so we have it today, although there are many counterfeits. And of course, we in this program uphold the word of the Lord Jesus Christ in the King Jesus Bible. Some people call it the King James Bible. But we show that it is the Word of God. And I want to start off today by reading from from the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 19. It says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying weight of the Jews. And that's Paul talking. I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things which shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. I want to make a comment on that. The gospel of the grace of God. God said that all of us that are saved by grace, because the Bible says, by the deeds of the law shall no man be saved and be justified before God, because the law condemns us. It says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if you're under the illusion that your good works balance against your bad deeds, that God will accept you, he will not accept you. All of us have sinned. All of us have come short of God's grace, God's perfect life. But Jesus has lived a perfect life, and he gives us grace. That means grace is a free gift. By grace you save through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so we're all saved when we admit that we're sinners. If we don't think that we have sinned, we're lying against God. God said we're all sinners. And Jesus didn't say, he said, I didn't come to save the righteous, but bring sinners to repentance. And so we have to come to Jesus in faith, and when we do that, we are given eternal life and all the blessings of God, and that's what grace means. Grace means a gift. Now behold, Paul says, I tell you, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Therefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I am not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And then he's going to warn us about the false teachers coming in. Now, he said, feed the church of God, which he has purchased. Well, it was the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross of Calvary. And so that was called right here the blood of God. The church was purchased by the blood of God, which is the blood of Jesus. And you know, today we have a counterfeit religion, and if they don't talk about the blood of Christ being shed for our sins, that's a counterfeit religion. In the past, they had people that blaspheme, and they would talk against it. And today, you've got churches, they don't talk against these things, they just don't talk for them. And if they don't mention that, Moses said, and God told Moses to say this, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so in the Old Testament, when they sinned, they had to bring an animal sacrifice and kill it. And when its blood was shed, they were forgiven, and an atonement was made. That was a covering for sin. But finally, when Jesus came, he was the final sacrifice for sin. And John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And it says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If they don't talk about the blood, they're not talking about Christianity or talking about what the Bible teaches. Because every one of us have sinned. Every one of us have come short of the glory of God. Every one of us are sinners. You know, Mary, she said she rejoiced in God, my Savior. Mary, she was a good woman by people's standards, but yet she needed a Savior, and she rejoiced in God, her Savior, and Jesus is the Savior, and He is God. And this needs to be emphasized. Jesus Christ is God. The New Testament says this over and over again. It says we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give account to God. I could go on and on quoting verses where it talks about Jesus being God. And it was the blood of God that purchased us. It was the blood of God that was shed for our sins. It was the blood of God that purchased the church. So he says here that he testifies of these things. He witnesses to these things, and a true preacher will do that. He will witness to those things. Now, I want you to notice something else. It says, wherefore I take you to record this day, I'm pure from the blood of, for I'm not ashamed to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourself, to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Now, some people don't even go to church these days. The church is very important, and that's the local body of believers. And Jesus Christ has purchased it with his blood. Jesus puts great value on the church. I thank God for churches, churches that support this program. They were purchased by the blood of Jesus. And I go to People's Baptist Church in Brunswick, and it's near the square in Brunswick, and the Comfort Inn there. And Mark Valenia is the pastor, and he is a Bible-believing preacher that believes in the King James Bible. He supports this program, and the church supports it. And then there's Country Baptist Church, they have supported this church for years, and I thank God for them and the pastor of that church. And then there is Pastor Andrew Snacko, Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, also supports my ministry for years. And they are all Bible-believing churches, churches that have the text that has come down to us from the apostles. Now, we say the King James Bible is based a translation of the apostolic text. The Bible says in the New Testament, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine that is found in the New Testament text. And it says in 1 Timothy, it says that thou mightest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The church itself is not the truth. It is what upholds the truth. The truth is the Bible, God's word, God's words, and the true churches down through the ages. We have many books of documented evidence that these churches, the Bible-believing churches that taught salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and practiced believers' baptism of people that were saved and then after they were saved were baptized, that held the true teaching, and they give their confessions of faith, and so they give their confessions of faith, and then they say what the Catholic Church leaders said about them. And they held the same teaching at any independent Baptist church that believes the same thing today, like the church in People's Baptist in Brunswick teaches. And Country Baptist teaches that backs the program, and Bible Baptist Temple with Pastor Andy Rusnacko teaches. So these churches, and there's 700 of these churches just in the state of Ohio and thousands all over America that teach the apostolic doctrine, have the apostolic text found in the King James Bible. Now, the opposite text is the text put out by Origen, who revised the scriptures. It's not even Koine Greek. It's classical Greek. Greek professors will all tell you the New Testament's written in Koine Greek. Well, These modern versions do not come from Koine Greek. They come from classical Greek, the texts of Origen, Eusebius, and Constantine, and passed on by the Roman papacy ever since the fall of Constantinople, and they've been pushing the Vatican Bible ever since that time, and the modern versions are based on copies of that, and even the copies didn't agree with each other, and also based on Sinaiticus, and Vatican and Sinaiticus disagree with each other 2,000 times. Some of these books say oldest and best, and the devil would say a hearty amen to that because they're Arian Bibles that deny the full deity of Jesus Christ. Now he says here, for I know this, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And so the grievous wolves have come in, and they're in the Bible Institutes, and it came in through the seminaries, and that entered into many Bible Institutes. Thank God today there's Bible Institutes out there that believe the Word of God, the King James Bible, but many of them don't. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Now, when somebody gets on the radio and they says this is an unfortunate translation and a better reading is, and the Greek says, and all that stuff, of course, they never attempt to even prove it. You're supposed to bow down and worship just because they said so. And when they do that, they're making disciples after themselves, and God calls them grievous wolves here. It says, and they do not spare the flock. Because, you know, 99% of the ancient manuscripts back up the readings of the King James Bible. And it's not just me that has said this. I remember when I was at Moody, at that time, I had a professor that taught me, Dr. Alfred Martin. And Dr. Martin wrote a book. He says, if people knew both sides of it, they wouldn't go along with these modern versions, because Dr. Martin, who was executive vice president of all the satellite schools at Moody at that time, he wrote a book defending the King James Bible, and many, many other people that are very well educated. And Dr. Martin had a degree from Dallas and was highly educated. And the books that I recommend, I don't get a penny from these books, but all of these people, they are well-researched, well-documented books that defend the King James Bible and the readings of it. So it says they will come in and they will speak perverse things to draw away disciples after them. When they say a better reading is a fortunate, unfortunate translation, most of them, I could tell by just listening to them, they don't even know what they're talking about. I call them the chaos cult, and somehow they don't even read both sides of the issue. You know, for 30 years, I was teaching young men for the ministry, and schools gave me, I don't say it very often, but schools gave me, two different schools gave me doctor's degrees. And I had to do translating, and I have, the last 30 years, I have read every book that I could get my hands on, pro and con, on this issue. So I know what I'm talking about. But the books that I recommend, these fellows know their stuff. They've read the information. They're fabulous books. There's a book by, Which Version is God's Way, by Floyd Nolan Jones. And you want to look that up on the internet. You want to get that book. He gives you the documented evidence from the ancient manuscripts for the King James readings. And then, which Bible would Jesus use? You want to get that book. It's an introductory book. And then the books by Gail Riplinger, the fabulous books, New Age Bible Versions. Another one is Hazardous Materials. She goes into the documented evidence, into hundreds of pages of information, who these people were that put out these corrupt texts, corrupt Bibles, corrupt translations. The information is out there. It's documented. I cannot understand why these people get on there and they can correct the King James and they haven't the faintest idea what they're talking about. You know, they're ignorant. And I remember Brother Davis said the word ignorant means to ignore. They ignore all the evidence. They just read one side and they do that. And one of the reasons is Satan blinds their minds through pride, because it's a horrible thing what they're doing. I understand they say in the New King James, they question 1 John 5:7. You know, and some of the people question it, they don't even know the evidence for it. Oh, it just slipped in from the margin. It did? It's interesting. I have a book by Athanasius, Archbishop of Alexandria, Egypt. He died about 370. He writes hundreds and hundreds of pages in there, highly educated person. And he refers to that verse. And at the Council of Carthage in 250, they use it as a proof text. And these rascals just, it just slipped in from the margin. They don't know what they're talking about. And they're going to answer to God for that. One of the former pastors of Moody Bible Institute, when he was shown the evidence for the new ASV or the Archbishop Carlos Martini Bible, and he was shown the evidence, he said to Lachlan, who of the Lachlan Foundation, he says, "I'm afraid we're in big trouble with God." Lachlan said, "Well, we'll talk about it when I get back from my honeymoon." And Lachlan came back in a box. He was killed. God, this is God's holy word, and some people don't know what they're talking about. They just correct it like anything. How do we know it's God's word? It says, "The word of God liveth and abideth forever." This is the text coming down from the apostles, and we can trace it right back to the apostles. And they had these on their desk, and they translated it. And they went over every word 16 times, and people that couldn't even translate one verse in Greek are just correcting it because they read somebody else's corrections just as ignorant as they are. Willful ignorance, messing with the Word of God. It's the Word of God because it just hangs on. Every other translation disappears with the advertising. The Bible says, "I'll honor my word above all my name," and God's honored it to 5 billion copies worldwide. I mean, more than any book that was ever written. When George Washington was inaugurated, he bowed his head in front of a King James Bible and kissed it. And most presidents had put their hands on that when they were inaugurated, presidents of the United States of America. And when the astronauts went to the moon, before they landed on the moon, they read out of a King James Bible. It just goes on and on. It gets greater and greater all the time. Everybody attacks it, and it just keeps right on going. Millions and millions of people were saved by Jesus says, "By their fruits you shall know them." The millions of people that were saved by it, that's an evidence to its truth. You don't have to keep arguing about every verse. I'm telling you, if you have gone into this like I've gone into it, many other people have gone into it, you can get quibbling over every verse. And you know, you go to the lexicons, a lot of those people deliberately change those meanings in those lexicons. And a lot of them were unsaved people. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. And they were unsaved. They didn't believe Jesus died for their sins. He rose from the dead. And they're putting out these counterfeit Bibles that are full of errors. Now he says here, "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem." And he says, "Not knowing what shall befall me, say that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying, bonds and afflictions abide me." But Paul was willing to give his life for this. "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." His whole goal in life was to testify the gospel of God's grace. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you think you're going to heaven because you're so good, even before you were saved or after you were saved, if you were saved or so on, you will never make it. You will have a rude awakening. Jesus said, "Many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, haven't we cast out devils in your name? Haven't we prophesied your name? Haven't we done many wonderful works?" Then he will say unto them, "I depart from you, workers of iniquity. I never knew you." You are not saved by your good works. None of us are good enough. God has to show us this. We're saved by God's grace. Jesus didn't say he came to save the righteous, but bring sinners to repentance. We have to see that we have sinned before God and that we need the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, one of the first things that we see In the book of Genesis, in chapter 3, we see the devil operating, and here's how he operates. And the devil says the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he's more smarter than the leading evangelists and leading preachers on the radio and television, and that's why they correct the King James Bible, and that's why they put up corrupt Bibles and promote them. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, the first thing out of his mouth is he questions the word of God. That's going to be the program of the devil from then on, to question God's word. And they put these little footnotes, like in the new King James Bible, it puts a footnote on 1 John 5:7. Yeah, you put the question mark. If that's wrong, how do you know some other verses are not wrong? God said he would preserve his words. He says, ye shall not have eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Now, right off the bat, Eve revises the word of God. God said, you shall freely eat. And she takes out freely. Do you know that the modern versions in Romans in one place take out the word freely? Salvation is a free gift. We're all going on welfare. We're not going. And it's Jesus has died for our sins, paid for our sins, rose from the dead. And when we repent, Jesus said, repentance, we're willing to turn from our sin, take ourselves off as our own God and put Jesus as God of our life and make him our Lord and Savior, invite him to be Lord and Savior, and we have eternal life. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, blessed are they that have not seen and believed. And then she says, she takes out freely every fruit of the trees, which is in the midst of the garden. She's talking to the devil now. God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. Well, God didn't say neither shall ye touch it. She just added to the word of God. So she took out freely. Now she's added to it. And then she changes the word, lest ye die. God says, you shall surely die. That's what all the modern translations do. They take out words, they add words, and they change the meaning of words all the way through. I listen to these modern translations so many times that they have totally changed the meaning of words in the scripture, and they have taken out words. It's just terrible. The Bible says God was manifest in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16. And the Apostle John taught Ignatius of Antioch, he died for the Lord in 100. And he quotes that God was manifest in the flesh. But you know, there's no manuscript that said, but the modern ones say, he who. What says he who? There's no Greek manuscript say he who. It says God was manifest. Theos is God was manifest in the flesh. And so that goes out. And it's just change after change after change. And Jesus is kicked out 100 times in most of these modern translations in the New Testament alone, plus all the other mutilations that they put in there. That's why we have these programs. And the Lord God said, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. So the serpent, you're not really going to die. Well, you die means you're separated from God. God does, for God doth know in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now he says, you're going to have some secret knowledge you didn't know before, you know. You'll learn the original Greek. It's not the original Greek. It's a revision by Origen. And you'll be as gods. You'll be smart. Always appeal. You'll be scholarly. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. You know, they'll say, well, it's the scientific text. Yeah, you could attack a science to anything, you know, and call it that. And the simpletons will believe that. The Bible says, beware of science falsely so-called. And so you need to know what you're talking about. And it says, they ate, and their eyes were open, and both of them knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So they're trying to cover their sin with fig leaves. That's people that try to cover their sinful sin with their good deeds. And they say, well, I'm so good, you know, and they try to cover up. But they're separated from God, and they're naked before God. But thank God, God has given us the word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, and Christ gave us the word. And the Holy Spirit says he's the Holy Spirit, and he will guide you into all truth, and he will abide with you forever. And the Bible says we can look at the perfect law of liberty. And we have it here today in the authorized King James Bible that gives us hope of eternal life. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.